tough passage, but I believe that God wants to speak to us through this. Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible. I love how the Bible words this one verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 18, 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Today's hot topic, I believe, is relevant in many ways. How do I deal with people when I'm angry? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord, that we don't have to base our actions on the opinions of man, but Lord, we can look to the authority of the word of God. Lord, may your word guide us today. Lord, may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, may we humble ourselves today in the reading of your word. Lord, that we would submit ourselves to your wisdom, to your ways, to your authority, to your truth, Lord, that we would walk in the light of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. People, people, people. Don't you love people? If it wasn't for people, this world would be a peaceful place, wouldn't it? I think the most controversial statement about dealing with people is something Jesus said in Luke 27. Jesus himself said this. He said, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Say, what, Jesus? Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus is radical, isn't he? Nobody says stuff like that. Here's why. Because the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's system works the exact opposite of this world's system. The world says if you want to have wealth, take. But Jesus said if you want to have wealth, give. The world says love those who love you back. But Jesus says love everybody, even those who hate you. Love your enemy. There are many different types of love, and we see this when we look at the New Testament. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and in the Greek language, there are four main words for love. There are more, but four primary words. The first is storge. That's family love. Come on, love my mama, love my daddy, right? So I was hitting Goldsboro, love my daddy, hey daddy. Second is eros, okay? That is the boom chicka wow wow kind of love. Like, hey baby, hey baby, hey baby, hey baby, 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 how you do it? You get it? The third is philia. If you don't get that, bless your heart. Philia. Philia is brotherly love. Philadelphia. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Philia is brotherly love, okay? But there's a fourth kind of love that's different and better than all the rest. And that is the word agape. Somebody say agape. The agape type of love is the God kind of love. This is a love that is so strong and so pure that you can love even those who hate you. Agape love is unconditional love. In our human nature, okay, just human nature, just us being us, we love those who love us. We love those who are nice to us. We love those who agree with us. But agape love is a completely unconditional love. This is God's kind of love, and it only comes from him. The word agape is found in 1 John 4:7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another. Let us agape one another. In other words, don't love each other when you feel like it. Don't love each other when you're getting along. Don't love each other when you agree with one another. Love each other unconditionally. Let us agape one another, for agape comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But whoever does not agape, who does not love unconditionally, doesn't even know God. For God is agape. Love is not just what God does. Love is who God is. God is love. Tell somebody, God is love. That's Bible, y'all. And if you're really, really a child of God, at some point you ought to resemble your father. Amen. If God is love, there should be some family resemblance in your life and how you treat people. Oh, boy. Whoever does not love does not know God. You can't convince me that you're a Christian if you're mean as the devil. Amen. My daddy grew up in the Holiness Church, and he told me about some people he knew growing up. He said, they're clean, but mean. Come on, y'all. It's not just about holiness on the outside. It's about having a sanctified heart on the inside. Come on, y'all. Hello. If you're really a Christian, you've got the love of God inside of you. Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That means the Holy Spirit, God, agape, lives inside of us. Love what the Bible says. It says we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit begins transforming you and making you more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process of transformation. You will find that throughout your life as a Christian, there will be things that God develops in you that you didn't even know were there. We call those things the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to look with me in Galatians 5. Look at the very first thing the Holy Spirit produces in us. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, very first one right there, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Romans 5:5 says that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. I love that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion. Anybody ever heard that one? I love that verse that says, it makes me love everybody. In other words, I might not like you. We might be arguing. We might not see eye to eye. We might not get along. But the Holy Spirit inside of me won't let me hate you. The Holy Spirit says, I got to love you. I love it. Amen. That's old school preaching. You ain't got to say amen. I say amen to myself. I can't help it. I can't hate my fellow man. I've got the Spirit of God, the love of God inside of me. It won't let me do that. But here's the reality for you and me. People will test us, won't they? Come on, people will test you. Anybody been tested recently? People will test you to see how much Jesus you've got inside of you. That's my story. They'll push you to your limits. And right now, if you're dealing with people that you would rather fight than forgive, if you'd rather beat them than bless them, if you'd rather punch them than pray for them, then you're being tested right now. Difficult people will test the limits of your love. Difficult people will take you to a place where your love doesn't exist. In other words, my love is this circle right here where people are nice to me and they're friendly and they're sweet and they're, you know, the southern hospitality. Hey, Shug, how you doing? I'm fine, Shug. How you doing? How's your mama doing? She's good. How's your mama doing, right? Everybody's nice and sweet and friendly and we all just get along. But people will push us outside of our circle, won't they? See, I'm out of my love zone where I have to be in a place where you're going to figure out if I'm walking in the love of God or if I'm walking in the flesh. Amen. Anybody been outside of your love circle this week? Amen. People will test you. People will push you past your limits. And in that moment, you're going to see what's inside of you. Amen. It's what I call a God test. A God test is like a drug test. Okay? A drug test determines what's in you. I think about when I got out of college, I thought, you know, I believe this lie that all you have to have is a college degree and all your wildest dreams will come true, right? Vote for Pedro, get a college degree, you'll be set for life. Here I was, had two college degrees and working two part-time minimum wage jobs. I'd work at K Jewelers in the morning and I'd work at Target in the evening. And we were just poor as poor could be, but we were in love. We were written from an elderly couple who took their carport and turned it into an apartment, and they didn't even level the floor, and the oven was sideways, and everyone would bake a cake, and the cake would be like this, and she'd tell everybody it was fancy, but we knew the real truth of it. The oven was sideways. But after months of being the smartest dummy on earth with two college degrees, working two minimum wage part-time jobs, I finally had an interview at a bank, and I finally got a full-time job. And they said, you know, the job's yours if you want it, but you have to pass a drug test before you can work here. So after years of high school and college, I was like, finally, a test I don't have to study for. You just show up, and they find out what's already in your system. But you see, a God test is like that. A God test determines what's already on the inside of you. It's not a test you study for. It just finds out what's in you. Amen? And that's the kind of test that people will put you through. They will push all the right buttons, and they'll find out if you've got the love of God inside of you or not. Amen? When you're stressed out, when you're under pressure, you find yourself, more often than not, face-to-face with somebody who's pushing you past your limits. Amen. And usually it's when we're under pressure. I think we're all under pressure right now, don't you? Not only with what's going on in the world around us, but many of you are facing personal battles in your life right now, in your family, in your workplace, in your finances, with your health. You're under pressure. And here's what I've learned. When we're under pressure, people tend to test us the most. And I want you to be ready to pass the test. So let's look back at Romans 12, 14. Today I'm going to quickly give you 10 ways to pass the test. And this list comes straight from the Bible here in Romans 12. Are you ready this morning? When you're dealing with difficult people, when you're upset, when you're angry, here are 10 ways you can pass the test and make God proud. Number one, bless them instead of cursing them. Ooh, if we got any cussing Christians in the house, this is going to speak to your heart today. This is what the Bible says, bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. The Greek word translated bless is the word eulogio. From two words, you, which means good, and legeo, which means speech. Speak good of them. When they cut you down, you build them up. See, God's system's the opposite of the world system. In the world system, if you tell me I'm stupid, I'm going to tell you your mama's stupid. If you tell me I'm ugly, I'm going to tell you your mama's ugly. You'll see a theme here. I have a standard response. Okay, you're terrible at math. Your mama's bad at math, right? In the world, if somebody insults us, we insult them back. And their mama. And their grandma, if it's really bad, right? Come on, we respond with like kind, right? If they attack us, we attack them. They insult us, we insult them. But the Bible says, bless those who curse you, bless and do not curse. In other words, they throw shade at you, don't throw it back at them. Come on, they come after you, they attack you. You're going to do it the way Jesus does it. Look, I know you're angry, I might not understand, but I'm going to pray that God's going to bless you and help you right now. That takes agape. Because my love don't do that. My love talks about your mama. But God's love says, you know what, you're cursing me, you're coming after me, you're attacking me. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to pray for you. Because I'm not going to get caught up in the garbage of the world, because I don't belong in the garbage of the world. I belong in the kingdom of God. My citizenship is not of this earth. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And if I belong to heaven, I got to act like I belong to heaven. Amen. You better preach. I will. It's all right. You ain't got to shout. Just let it sink in. Number one, bless and don't curse. Number two, be sensitive to their circumstances. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This is another example of radical Christianity, because our selfishness, our selfish human nature wants to resent people's success and celebrate their failures. Why else do we love gossip so much? Because we talk about all their mess, we feel better about our own dysfunctions. It shouldn't be that way in the kingdom of God. Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. If they're being blessed by God, celebrate that. But if somebody's going through something, don't kick them while they're down. Meet them where they are. Amen. Proverbs 24:17, do not gloat when your enemy falls, when they stumble. Do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove. If you want to have pass the test, you've got to have a heart of compassion for people. Amen. No matter how difficult a person may be or how confrontational they may be, that's still a person that God loves and a person that Jesus died on the cross to save. And really, we never know what somebody's going through. There have been times in my life, I'll be honest with you, where somebody, I felt like they were personally attacking me. They were yelling at me, sometimes screaming at me, sometimes cussing at me, and not in tongues, you know, like straight up cussing at me. And I stepped out of my own love limits, and the spirit of punch you in the face started flowing into my arm, like the slap anointing started coming down. I could feel it tingling. And then the Holy Spirit said, you don't know what they're going through right now. You know the whole makes me love everybody thing? The agape love of God said, mm-mm. You see hate, God sees hurt. You never know what people are going through. They may be lashing out on the outside, but more often than not, they're hurting on the inside. Whew, got serious, didn't it? It's all right. It'll get better before it gets worse. Amen. Number three, don't show partiality. Verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. This verse literally says in the Greek, think the same way towards everybody. Oh, if only the world would live by that verse, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? Think the same way towards everybody. In other words, think the same thing about that person that you would think about yourself. Don't live a double standard. Give them the same benefit of the doubt that you would give you, okay? If it's good for you, it's good for them. If it's bad for you, it's bad for them. Because most of us judge other people by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge other people by a much stricter standard than we judge ourselves by. And that shouldn't be that way. The Bible says that God will judge us based on how we judge others. If you want mercy from God, you better show mercy to other people. If you want forgiveness from Him, you better forgive others. Amen? Number four, instead of judging them, help them. Verse 16 goes on to say, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. The attitude of a Christian should never be, I'm better than you. Amen. Instead, our attitude should be, let me meet you where you are so I can help you. Don't be condescending. Don't act like you came out of the womb speaking in tongues, like you walked on water to get to church today. Don't look down on people. Reach down and help them, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have nothing. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be in hell, in jail, or out on bail today. But somebody reached out in love to you, so you reach out in love to somebody else. Number five, don't be arrogant. Verse 16 says, do not be conceited. Are y'all ready for a hard truth this morning? Maybe I should stand behind the piano. Just in case y'all throw Bibles at me. Don't spend all your time arguing with people trying to prove that you're right. I said it. I ain't scared of y'all. I'm coming back out. now that I know it's safe. Don't spend all your time arguing with people trying to prove you're right. I don't know about you, but I would rather win souls than win arguments. The Apostle Paul said, one of the most brilliant and highly educated men of ancient times, he said this, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul was a brilliant man. He understood Greek philosophy. He understood Jewish law. He understood the Old Testament. And he said, I laid all of my education down. I laid down my right to be right. And all that I knew was that Jesus died on the cross to save you. Remember that people are not the enemy. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Stop fighting people when you ought to be doing some spiritual warfare. Amen? So number five, don't be arrogant. Don't be a know-it-all. Number six, don't lash out at them. Don't you love the Bible, y'all? Verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Watchman Nee tells a story about a Chinese Christian who owned a rice paddy right next to one owned by a communist man. And in order to irrigate his rice paddy, he would have to get up every morning and use a foot pump to pump water from a nearby canal into his rice paddy. But every morning after he did all of that work, his neighbor would come and remove a board separating the two fields and take all the water. And day after day, this man became so frustrated that he knelt down and prayed. How do you know that's a good thing to do when you get frustrated? Try it sometime. Amen. He knelt down and he prayed. And he said, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do. If this keeps happening, I'm going to lose my rice field. And I won't be able to provide for my family. I don't know what I'm going to do." And don't you know that sometimes when we talk to God, he talks back? Amen. Some of y'all need to just shut up and listen when you pray sometimes, because you just, "I need this and I need that and I need this and I need, bless me, bless me, bless me." Sometimes you need to talk to God and take time to shut your mouth and listen, because he likes to talk back. Prayer is a two-way conversation. So he said, "God, I don't know what to do." And he sat and he listened, and God gave him a word. The next morning, he got up twice as early. He spent an extra hour irrigating his neighbor's field. Then he irrigated his own field. And it was a lot of work, but after 1 week, both rice paddies were doing well, and his communist neighbor was now his Christian neighbor. Amazing things happen when you don't repay evil for evil. Amen? Number seven, think about what's good for others. Verse 17, be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Listen, I've faced some difficult people before. When I stepped down from my position in Wilmington to become a pastor here in Goldsboro, a guy from the church came by and slashed my tires. Just cut those sidewalls out. Of course, the joke was on him because I was buying used tires at the time. So, you know, I was only out about $30. But anyway, I came out that morning, and I got mad, and I could have called the police, I could have had the guy charged, I could have made the big deal about it, but I began to think, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, because this man had a family who didn't do anything wrong to me, and if I had gone after him and given him what he quote-unquote deserved, his family would have suffered for it. Sometimes you need to do what's right for everybody rather than doing what's right for you. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Don't get pulled into the fight. Sometimes you need to stop and let God fight your battles. Number eight, live in peace as much as possible. Again, this is one of my favorite verses because it's so gracious to you and me, because it knows that we have limits. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You can't get along with everybody. Some people will argue with a fence post. Some people will argue with themselves. Okay, you might not be able to make them get along with you. You might not be able to live peaceably with them, but you can have the peace in your heart of knowing that you did what was right in the sight of God. They keep on being difficult. Be nice anyway. You can trust God that you did your part. I'm almost done. Number 9, cancel all plans for revenge. That's deep, isn't it? 19, verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Church, you need to know today, it is not your job to get even. The human heart is not capable of handling revenge, because if you try to take revenge on everybody who wrongs you, it will poison your soul and you will become uncontrollably bitter. Let God handle the revenge, because He is the only fair judge. When somebody makes you angry, take that thing to God. Don't try to do God's job. Amen? Y'all okay? All right. If you're taking notes, that was point number 9. If you're taking medicine, it's 11:47. Almost done, y'all. Last one, where the musicians come. Number 10, fight evil with good. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, y'all. We're seeing evil all around us, aren't we? Don't be overcome by evil. Don't let the evil of this world overcome you. The Bible says we are to overcome evil with good. The answer to hate is not more hate. The answer to racism is not more racism. The answer to violence is not more violence. Don't be overcome by the evil of this world, but overcome evil with good. Will you stand as we pray this morning for just a moment? Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your ways are not our ways and Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Lord, I thank You by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we can walk according to Your ways. And Lord, we can think according to Your thoughts. We don't have to live according to the systems of this world. But Lord, we thank You that Your kingdom is greater and Your kingdom is stronger. And Lord, I pray, God, it's my prayer today for every one of us, Lord, that we would be people of mercy and people of grace. Lord, that we would be people of love and not of hate. God, help us to be people who forgive. Help us to be people who are kind in an unkind world. And Lord, I pray right now, God, for those who are hurting. God, I pray for healing, God, of every hurting heart right now in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You are the healer of broken hearts. Lord, I pray, God, for Your peace and Your presence, Lord, to bring healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just rebuke the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for Your peace. I thank You for Your strength. God, I thank You for Your protection. I thank You for Your wisdom. And Lord, above all else, I thank You for Your love, God, to fill and overflow. God, help us, God, to forgive others, God. Help us to love them the way that You loved us. And God, if we've hurt anybody, Lord, show it to us now, God, as we stand in Your presence and pray. God, if we've offended anyone, if we've caused anybody hurt or pain, God, forgive us and help us, God, to bring reconciliation. Lord, to be ministers of reconciliation. God, help us to follow the example that You've given us. God, help us to live our lives according to Your word and according to Your love, that very love with which You loved us. And we ask this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Talking about God's love, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love, His agape towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, in our own right, we can't save ourselves. Only Jesus has the power to save. And the good news is that Jesus will save anyone willing to come to Him. The Bible says, whosoever will. Anyone willing to come and give their life to Jesus, He will save you and set you free. Give you a hope and give you a future. If you have an opportunity right now to make that decision, and we want to help you make that decision. Listen, don't live another day under the guilt of sin. Don't live another day under the fear of tomorrow. Trust your life to Jesus today, and He will save you and set you free. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you as a starting point of your faith in Jesus. Will you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I receive new life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Amen.
Oh, let's give God a shout of praise. The kingdom of heaven just got bigger today. For those listening online and on Facebook, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your salvation. You know, this week, don't forget, we threw fasting on you out of the blue. But you know what? It's how it goes sometimes. And I'm excited about fasting because through all that's been going on in the world, one of the prayers that Josh and I have had is that revival would take place. And so if you're sitting here wondering, what do I need to fast for? What is it that, why am I fasting? Fast for revival. I don't know if you've looked on the news or if you see what's going on, but there's a dying and a hurting world that needs Jesus. It doesn't need anything but Jesus, because Jesus is love, He is hope, He is peace, He is every single thing that we need. And so my prayer is that this week, is that God starts something in us that cannot be contained. That the church doesn't worry about social distancing anymore, because Jesus places a bigger social distance around us that we don't even need to stand away from each other and wear a mask. Because God is the healer. When He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, He shed that blood so that we didn't have to be sick, so that we didn't have to do the things that are going on in this world today. And so my prayer is that we get a hold of who Jesus is, because the last time that I read in the Bible, Jesus, God parted the Red Sea and people walked through the middle of a sea, guys. Is that God dead? Do we serve a dead God? No, because what He did then, He can do right now. And so my thing this week is we got to get a hold of who God is, of God that parts the Red Sea, of the God that raised Lazarus from the dead, from the God that broke prison doors and set the captives free, because He's not dead. That's not who I serve. I serve a God that He rose on the third day. He's not laying in a tomb. And so today I want you to go home and say, what am I going to fast? I want to fast for revival. I want the altars full, that the protesting starts with protesting on our knees before God, because He's the one that changes everything. That the arguing stops on Facebook, but we become united, a united front, and we get back to what's important, and what's important is prayer. We've lost prayer. We've lost it in schools. We've lost it everywhere. This church should be full. Corona or not, because the God I serve parts the Red Sea. The God that I serve can heal cancer instantaneously. The God that I serve, I've seen people's legs grow out, and He is not dead. And we have got to remember that what they saw back in the Bible days is going to be greater, because the Word says that I will do miracles and I will pour out upon you, and the lame is going to walk. And we have got to get a hold of that instead of crawling back on the pew and sitting there going, okay, it's all right. No, come on, y'all. Where's the Christians that have boldness, that say, no, this is not okay. Corona, be gone up. In the name of Jesus, it serves no place. So why are we fasting? Because we need more of God. We need more of Jesus. We need an outpouring like never before. Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we, as we begin to fast today, Lord, that your outpouring will come upon us like never before, Father. Lord, that you will breathe a new life into us, that we won't be satisfied with yesterday's anointing, Father, but that today we need more of you, that we need more of your presence, we need more of your peace. And God, I thank you, Father, for taking us to a new level. Lord, let us be, as Pastor preached about today, Lord, not easy to act out in anger, but easy to act out in love. That love becomes our first language, Father, not anger. But Lord, I just thank you, Father, Lord, for doing a mighty work in us, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God that nobody can stop, that you are a God of the impossible, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the healer, that you are the restorer of marriages, that you are freedom to the addicted, Father. And Lord, I thank you, and I claim in the name of Jesus that from this point on, Father, that division will have to stop and that unity will have to come together, Father. Lord, I thank you for miracles taking place, that our church is going to be known for the presence of God, not for disunity, but it's going to be known that when you enter onto our property, Father, or you meet one of our church members, Father, that your presence just oozes out of them, that your presence is so strong that people just want to be in their presence because you're there. And God, we thank you for your anointing. God, I thank you for doing a mighty, mighty work in us, Father. And Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.